Okay, good vach, everybody. Always a schus to be together, to learn Torah together, to grow together. I want to start, as always, by thanking the Shriers, thanking Eliza, Sarit, and the whole Mishpacha. It should be Bez Hashem. You know, we're in the month of Simcha, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha, and even more so Adar Sheni, as we're preparing for the Heilig Yom Tov. So it should be in the month of Simcha, it should be the learning. The Chizik is ours tonight. Should be a chus, a big simcha for the entire mishpacha. Bez Hashem is Baruch. So these are very big days, very very big days as we get closer and closer to the Heilig Yom Tov of Purim. In a year like this, when we had two Adars in Iber Shana, so even though you taste the Adar at the beginning, you get a little bit excited, but then you feel like Purim's so far away, and then it hits you Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and now it's like super close. And it's important, so important, to prepare. And not just prepare by thinking about what costume I want to wear and what shalchmanos I'm going to give, but to prepare b'machshava. To prepare b'machshava, to prepare in our thoughts, in our mind, in our hearts, to be able to tap into the beautiful kochos of this month and Purim. I want to start with the Torah. I actually shared this Torah this past Thursday night, but I think it's a tremendous Torah, just a short Torah, to understand the power of this entire month. Because obviously we're looking forward to Purim, Mirtz Hashem, next Wednesday night. But every day of this month, of Adar Sheni, is very, very holy. It's very, very holy. It's very, very special. And there's a Torah from the Spinker Rebbe, the first Spinker Rebbe, the Imri Yosef. And he says it over from the Sar Shalom of Bells, the first Belzer Rebbe of Shalom Rokeach. So he says as follows. This is incredible, beautiful just to see a Torah like this. It's a Torah, it's really a textbook Chassidish Torah. When I say that, it's a Torah where you take a pasuk in the Torah from an episode that you all know, and on the surface it's not really telling us much depth, it's just a pasuk in a storyline. But we'll see in this pasuk where you could look with a deeper sense of Havana, a deeper sense of understanding, and see how every word and every letter in the Torah is teaching us such depth. For today, it's Nitzchias, for today. Not just the storyline that once was. So if you go back to Parshas Miketz, and you have the whole story, after Yosef HaTzadik is already in Mitzrayim, and Yosef HaTzadik already went through the whole Maaseh with Eshet Potiphar, and he's second in command to Paro, running the whole government. So we know the brothers go down because there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael, there's a famine, and they have to come to get food. And Yosef knows who they are right away, but he calls them out for being meraglim. He's testing them and seeing what's going on with them, if they've changed at all after they tortured him in such a terrible manner. And he sends them back because they give the whole storyline, no, really, we're all brothers from one father, which he knew was true. But he sends them back to go bring back Binyamin, to see, telling them if it's really true, bring back Binyamin. Obviously, he's very excited to see his brother from his mother. And they go back, and Yaakov Avinu, we know, didn't want to send Binyamin, right? Yaakov Avinu, already in his mind, already lost one son, Yosef HaTzadik, from Rachel Imenu, his favorite wife, his wife he wanted to really marry from the beginning. And here the other son, to even dabble in the possibility of losing that son. So he didn't want to send down Binyamin. So Yehuda, the Melech, says to his Tata, he says, there's a pasuk, Parag Mem Gimel pasuk Yod. Ki lulei hismamanu. If we wouldn't have delayed, because this was all taking time, right? And they're talking back and forth. And the I'm just going to read you the pasuk shop. Ki lulei hismamanu. If we wouldn't have delayed, ki ata shavnu zepamayim. We would have already returned two times already. Meaning, if we weren't going back and forth about this, just let us go, we would have been there and back already. Ki lulei hismamanu. That's pasuk shot in the pasuk, right? Yaakov Avinu Tati. Just let us go. We would have been there and back. So listen how the Belzer Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looks at this pasuk. If you look at the word lule, if we wouldn't, ki lule is ba'ana, if we wouldn't have been delayed, lule, and read it backwards, what do you get? Lule backwards, lamed vav, lamed aleph. What do we get, chevra? El. Right? It's the letters of El. It's not just the letters of Mamish. Backwards is El. Alv, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. So he says as follows. We know El. What's El?
Elul is a Zman of tremendous growth. Elul is a Zman where we're really focused, working on ourselves as we prepare for Yom Noraim, for Yashana, Ser Shmechuva, Yom HaKippurim. It's a time in the year of serious introspection and growth. And often, sadly, what happens, we go through that days, and we try to improve, and try to grow, and try to take upon ourselves to work on things. And if you look back now, are we really any different than we were before Elul, months later? Probably most of us could say, I don't want to. Talking for myself, not much. And that's heart-wrenching. Because then I have to wait again for Elul, another, how many months till Elul again, till I can really work on myself, till I can really do tshuva. And let's remember, tshuva is just to grow, to return to who I am supposed to be, the true me. To return to the Rabbanu Shem and have that deep relationship with the Rabbanu Shem that I'm supposed to have. So listen to how the Sar Shalom Bells reads this pasuk. Pasuk Pshat, Ki Lulei Hasmamanu, if we wouldn't have been delayed, Ki Ata Shavnu Depamayim, we would have returned twice. He says, Ki Lulei, if Elul Hasmamanu, if we feel that Elul was delayed, what does it mean delayed? Like it didn't happen. If we feel like we didn't gain from Elul. Ki Ata Shavnu. Don't worry. And even you can learn it as like this also, if it's delayed till now. Ki ata shavnu. Now we can return. Ata, now we can do tshuva. Shavnu, milashon tshuva, right? Now we could do tshuva. When? When's now? When's now? When zeh? Zeh's gematria, 7 and 5 is 12, which are the 12 months of the year. Ki zeh, when zeh, pamayim. When the 12th month, what's the 12th month of the year? Starting Nisan, it's Adar. This month we're in is the 12th month of the year, the final month of the year. When zeh, when the 12th month, pamayim is doubled. When the 12th month is doubled, ata shavnu, you have another chance of tshuva. Another chance to return. Adar sheni, he says, is a big zman of tshuva. We spoke about 5 weeks ago, some of the chevra might remember, of the koyach of Adar Rishon. But he says that's true for Adar sheni as well. It's a big, big zman of tshuva. A big zman, which is a zman of growth. There's a amount of working in ourselves, and we have to tap into that. And now look at these like regular days. They're big days that we can, in a certain sense, make up for an L right now. And we have to understand this a little bit deeper, and we're going to tonight as we prepare for the Hail Yanta of Purim. So we know Purim's called Purim because of the lottery, right? And when Haman did the lottery, spoke Thursday night, if some of the chevra listened, the lottery was done by the Rabbona Shalom, but he got very excited. I'll read you the Gemara, it's Gemara Megillah. Hipil pur hu agoral. The lottery was cast. Tana cave, we learn. Kevan shenafel pur b'chodesh Adar. When the lottery fell out on the month of Adar. Sameach simcha gedoyla. Haman was extremely happy. Why? Amar nafeli pur. B'yerech shemeis bo Moshe. He got very excited. He knew that Moshe Rabbeinu died in this month. Zayin Adar is the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tonight is Gimel Adar. Gimel Adar Sheni. Happens to be my anniversary. So we're learning Torah, Baruch Hashem. That's what we should do. Mamish Adar Sheni, Gimel Adar Sheni. The year I got married was also Yibar Shana. And March 9th. It was 19 years ago. 19 years ago, you know, it works out the same. Huh? Yeah. 19 years ago. Baruch Hashem. Alright, anyways. Amen. Thank you. Sarita understands. She's the married one here. She understands. So she's giving brachas from anymore. I mean, she's having a simchadig marriage on Rosh Hashanah. Baruch Hashem. It should only continue. Alright, anyways. Let's learn. So you got very excited. Very excited. Don't worry, I'm going to take out my wife another night, obviously. Matzah Shabbos is not a good night to go out, you know, with the kids, with everything. Don't think Chas V'Shalom to think I wouldn't. Okay, anyways, Lemaisa. She got very excited because she said, oh, Adar is the Yerech L'Shemes by Moshe. That's a good omen. Moshe, I mean, the greatest leader, died this month. This is a tragic month. It's a terrible month. That's what it fell out on? Great, I'm going to be successful. This is the month of downfall of the Yidden. What worse tragedy, remember, this is what worse tragedy happened. Moshe Rabbeinu's death, great. Awesome. The Gemara continues. V'lo ha'yodea, He didn't realize, he didn't know, Shebeshiva Badr Mace, who Beshiva Badr Noilad. That not only did he die on the seventh, but he also was born on the seventh. In other words, Shkayach, he died on the seventh, but he was brought into the world on the seventh. All that Moshe added to our life was because of Adar. Moshe, the one that brought the Torah, the letters out of Mitzrayim, he was born in this month. It's a great month. That's what Gemara says. The question that many Mefarshim ask and deal with is, the Gemara seems to be, you know, you deal a lot in Purim Nepachu, that it's flipped around. The Gemara, when it discusses Moshe Rabbeinu's birth and death, seems to be out of order. What happens first? First one is born, and then lo aleinu, we shouldn't know from it, someone passes away. So it should have said, v'lo yadeya, he didn't know, shebeshiva ba'adar noilad, ubeshiva ba'adar meis, that he was born on the 7th and died on the 7th. The Gemara says, he didn't know that he died on the 7th and was born on the 7th. What comes first? So he should have said he was born and then died, not died and then was born. Why does he first mention that he died? Why does the Gemara first mention Moshe died and then mention that he was born? This is what we have to understand. So, you know, it's Matzah Shabbos, it's Kodesh, it's Adar. So we're going to discuss some little deeper Torah, Chavra. Okay, a little deeper Torah, but you follow. We'll bring it home. We try to, you know. Some of the Chavra Davids Nusach Sfarad here. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. That's it? Nobody else Davids Nusach Sfarad? Dina, sure. Okay, good. So did you pay? I don't know if you pay attention. We had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh just recently. On Thursday and on Friday, Rosh Chodesh. If you daven Nisuch Svard, this is Alpi Kabbalah, it's brought down to Kunei Zohar. So you're supposed to have in mind every month in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh a special pasuk that correlates to that month, which has Rosh Tevos or Sofe Tevos, either the first letters of the pasuk or the last, of Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But in 12 different orders. Okay? Yud Kei Vav Kei in 12 different orders. You follow that? Let me explain it to make it easier. Nisan's the easiest one to understand. Nisan is the pasuk. Nisan is Seder. Nisan's order. Nisan is freedom. Nisan is when we became a nation. Nisan is the first month. So Nisan is in order. Yud Hei Vav Kei, right? Which is the pasuk Yismuchu Hashemayim, Yud Hei, Visagel Vav Ha'aret Hei. Right, you see, the Rashi Tevos are Yud Kei Vav Kei. That pasuk, in a deeper sense, kabbalistically, applies to Nisan. Every month has a different pasuk with those four letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, but not in that order. Only in Nisan it's in order. If you know anything about math, when you have four numbers or four letters, so there's 12 different ways to have them, you know, correlate, to have them in different siddurim in different orders. So you have 12 different orders of Shem Havaya of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and those are the 12 months of the year. Good? You follow? Good? Yeah. Hey, how are you going to draw that over there? We'll figure it out. We'll see. Okay. Anyways, yeah. Lamaisa. So if that's true, listen to what Rabbi Yisrael Rizhin, the Rizhina Rebbe, there's only one Rizhina Rebbe. A lot of Chassidus comes from Rizhin. There was only one Rebbe, Rizhina Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Rizhin. And he says as follows. Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the name that represents Rachem and mercy. Right, Hashem has many names. Elokeinu is din, is judgment. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Havaya, is mercy. Why is that the name of mercy? What does Yud Kei Vav Kei stand for? You should know. This is Shulchan Aruch. This is not. We should all know this. If we didn't learn this yet, every time you say Hashem's name, you're supposed to have in mind that Hashem. When you say the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, you should have in mind Haya Hoyve V'Yia. All those letters are Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Haya, he was. Hove, he is. Yia, he will be. Which means God is above zman, above time. The Rabbeinu Shalom lives before, present, and future all at the same time. And that's how he's able to have Rachmanis. Because he saw what happened before, he sees what's going to happen in the future. That's his ability to be a merciful God and not just judge the moment as it is. He's able to look at a much bigger picture and have mercy on us. So Yud Kei Vav Kei in order is mercy. And as you move away from that order, more and more din comes in. More and more judgment comes in. Okay? What's the farthest month from Nisan? It's Adar. Because next month is going to be Nisan again, right? So the 12th month is Adar. So Adar, the Seraph of Adar, which starts Hey, but ultimately it's the farthest from Nisan, and therefore it has the most judgment, the most din. As we see, that's when we were supposed to be annihilated. It had potential for that. Which is what Haman ultimately deeply was excited about. That's what Haman thought. Haman thought to himself, the Rishoner says, that look, Adar, not only, okay, Shkoich, and the Gemara tells us Moshe died, because there's so much din, because it's the farthest from Nisan, based on the Tzerufim of the Havaya. Right, we'll follow that? Oh. So this is what he didn't realize, the Rishoner says, and this is what we need to talk about. I'm going to learn something very deep tonight. You ready, Chavra? And we can never forget what we're about to say tonight. It's one of the most important lessons we've ever learned together, I believe. I really mean this from the depth of my heart. The Rishoner explains, Haman didn't realize that it's true. It's true, Adar is the farthest from Nisan, therefore there's most judgment and the least rachamim. It's true that Moshe died in this month. It's true that potentially it's the lowest of months, the 12th month at the bottom. But we didn't realize that when a yid is so low, when a yid is so far, all that is tremendous potential for growth. All that is tremendous potential to get close again. And in our lives, the farther away we are, ultimately the closer we are to getting back up. The closer we are to becoming who we're supposed to be. The farther we are into Galus, the closer we are to Geula, actually. I'm going to explain this. It's not just an idea I'm saying over. I want to explain it. How's this possible? I'll explain it just to understand logically. You know, this is the idea. Psychological experts, psychologists, psychiatrists, they'll tell you when they're dealing with an individual who's dealing with addiction or dealing with depression, anxiety, all the terrible machlas of our generation, which are bigger than ever before. And that's why, if you've paid attention to the shirim over the last month or two, all that we've been speaking about is simcha. And this is also only about simcha. I'll explain, you'll see. So what's one of the things they talk about? In order to grow, sometimes a person has to first hit rock bottom. You have to first hit rock bottom. Then you'll be able to grow. If you haven't hit rock bottom, you ever think about it? Why? Wouldn't you think, pumfa carrot? What do you think just the opposite? If you're hitting rock bottom, that means you're farther away who you should be. You're the farthest point you should be. So, if this is, he's dealing with depression, you need to hit rock bottom and be more depressed before you get good. Why would that make any sense? Now you're farther, now more you need to grow. You're an addict. Yeah, it's not till Ichvesnish. Okay, you're addicted to some drugs and daily and mamish, losing tons of money and losing all your friends and losing your life. It's not until you OD and are almost dead that you hit rock bottom. That's when you can grow. And you think, logically, it sounds pumfaker, just the opposite. Now you're so far away. No. Because until we're very, very low, sometimes we convince ourselves psychologically that we're good, we're fine. And we don't have the wherewithal and the push to care to grow and to work on ourselves. It's only when we look at ourselves that we're so low and we're far, that itself is the greatest impetus for growth. And all that matters in life is not where we are, but where we're going. Are we in a state of growth or a state of falling? And there's nothing else out there. There's no such thing as just being satiated. There's no such thing as just being. Either I'm growing or I'm falling, by definition. That's why the Mizbeach was a ramp. The Mizbeach represents our closeness to Hashem, the Avodah, the focal point of the Beis HaMikdash, open up a Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBechira. It was a ramp, because on a ramp, you could be only going up or going down. There's no staying straight. On steps, you could be going up, down, or just standing straight on a step. A ramp, either you're growing or you're falling. And that's life as a Jew, and that's life as a person. And ultimately we have to understand, and this is the lesson of the Rishoner, a Halakha Torah, a big Torah that we're going to discuss and try to understand. And that is, that when we are so far, we're really so close. And therefore, Al Tisyayish. And therefore that's what Rav Nachman Breslov, we're going to read from Rav Nachman, he talks about this, time and time again, never to be in despair, never to give up, and never to feel, I'm so far, I'm so low. If you're so far and you're so low, that means you're so close to growing. You're so close to getting back to where you need to be.
that's what it is, perhaps. That's what the Gemara is telling us. Getting back to our Gemara, we're trying to analyze that Moshe was, Haman's all excited because it's such a terrible month. And the way the Gemara says that Moshe died in this month, so Gemara says, again, we said the order seems flipped, but no. The order is exact. Obviously, every word of Torah is exact. He didn't realize that through his state of death, through the lowest of places, that's when we are reborn. That's when we could work on ourselves. That's when we could grow. We're never down and out. A Yid who has a Kedusha within, has a Neshama within, has a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Eibishter Tata, that we're never gone. And if we're very far, it just means we're very close. And we have to believe that. And each and every one of us in our own personal lives, we go through, every one of us has situations, and there are times in our life when I feel so down and out, whether it's, and sometimes I look back and I realize it wasn't even so bad, but sometimes it is very bad, but whether it's with a particular relationship in my life, whether it's with a friend, or whether with my spouse, or whether with a sibling, or whether with a parent, and I feel like it's so bad, it's EF Sherlock Latake, and I can't fix it. No. If it's so bad, that means it has the potential for growth. Even more so. It's when you don't realize it's bad, that why would you work on it? It's when you don't realize it's bad. That's scary. And in my own life, when it comes to my relationship, even more so, with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there's so much that I want to be, and then in Elul, there was so much I was working. I look back now, and I'm davening the same way, and I'm keeping Shabbos the same way, with no excitement, no slavas, and my brachos. I say brachos, but they're mamish, 3 seconds of just some words come out of my mouth, and I know, and there's so many times I wanted to daven with kavana and say brachos with kavana. If I'm thinking about how low it is and where I am, that means I have potential for growth. It means I could work on it. If I don't realize it's low, why would I ever work on it? It's an incredible, if you think about it. And it doesn't mean, I'm sure, Baruch Hashem, this is not, sometimes you could hear this idea and say, oh, so, what did you learn this tonight from Rabbi Cohen? We learned we're supposed to be very low so that we grow. Chas v'sholom. Chas v'sholom. We should all, everyone should be, as we said so, time and time again, b'simcha. You should be b'simcha. But first of all, if you do feel very low, this is the chizik to get us out of it, first of all. And what about for those of us who say, okay, but I'm besimcha and I don't feel this, so I'm not going to grow then? No. You could be besimcha and have high self-esteem of who you are. But yet, we should always be in a state of analyzing our avodah and realizing I'm not where I should be and I'm lower than I think I am. Let's be real. If we honestly evaluated where my davening is, we evaluated my midos, evaluated how I speak to people, about people, and again, not in a depressing way, chas v'sholom, just recognize more so I could grow. Otherwise, why would I grow? Esther Amalka was trying as well. The Gemara tells us to get Klal Yisrael to understand this. The Gemara goes through all the different reasons why Esther wasn't revealing who she was. So one of the reasons, Rav Nechemya Omar, it's Tazvav in Gemara, in Megillah, Daf Tazvav, on the base, Rav Nechemya Omar, Kedei Shelo Yom Yisrael, Achos Lano Beis HaMelech, V'yasichu Daita Min HaRachim. What does that mean? He wanted, if Klal Yisrael knew, it's all good because Esther's there and Esther's going to take care of us. So they wouldn't themselves look into themselves. And they wouldn't themselves do the davening they need to do. And think we're in a good place, we're not in such a bad place. In order to grow and daven the way they need to daven, and earn through yearning for the geula, they had to realize we're not in such a great place. They needed to realize that. That's why as well, who is the one? Esther Malka is the one who brings the geula. Esther is this orphan, ein la ava, aim. She's of the lowest, you'd think, and she's the one who brings geula. She's the one who brings geula. It's from those states that we could reach the highest of heights. Where if we're at a low place in life, whatever that might be, it means we're ripe for the greatest growth. We're ready to be on fire and to grow at that moment. And we have to believe it. We have to believe it. Whenever we have a difficulty, don't get down and out. Say, okay, good, let me work through this. Now I'm ready to get higher, to grow. See, I don't know, I was thinking about this story the other day. story. It's in my Sefer Bereishis, if anyone went through that. But when I was in high school, I went to MTA. And throughout the years in MTA, for various reasons, Amev and Yavin, you could all imagine, you know, there were many guys over the years that didn't make it through MTA. So every year, you know, we started off, let's say, ninth grade with about 120 guys. By the time we graduated, I don't know, we were down to under 100, I think, kind of, whatever it was. Every year, you know, there's some chevra. They just didn't make it, Maven Yavin. So there's one particular guy in my class in 11th grade, a couple months into 11th grade, it was time to move on to higher places, okay? That was it. We called him, I won't say, we used to call this guy Easy Money. Whatever. We don't need to describe, we don't have to explain. Easy Money. So Easy Money, I was friendly with, it wasn't a close friend of mine, I was friendly with him. You know, but not Easy Money. So Easy Money lasted until a couple months into 11th grade, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know where he even went after that. And anyway, I used to sleep once in a while that year in his dorm bed because it was empty. So once in a while I wanted to sleep over in the city, so that was good. Yeah. And it was Lameisa. One day, the next year, beginning of 12th grade, I'm walking, and the bottom floor of MTA is it used to be the main YU based medrash. It used to be in the MTA building. I don't know if the Chevra knows the YU campus at all, but MTA is, it's like old, gorgeous building from the outside, across the street from a bunch of stores on Amsterdam Avenue. And it used to be that the main YU based medrash for years was in the bottom floor of MTA. Until recently, just a few years ago, when they opened up the big base medrash in the library, so they could have guys and girls mingling outside. I don't know, whatever it is, whatever the reason might be. No, I'm just joking. It's all good. Baruch Hashem. Lameisa, they still use, people still learn in the old base medrash. So it was outside the old base medrash, there was like this pile of Seamus. And I see in the pile of Seamus a pair of tefillin. Sometimes you see that, whatever. And it was a tefillin bag, no name on it. But I recognized that this was Easy Money's tefillin. Because we used to dive an MTA in Lamport Auditorium, this massive, I don't know if anyone's ever been there for something, big auditorium, YU uses as well for different things, whatever it might be. That's where we used to dive in. I used to dive in there easy. And I remember, I knew these were his tefillin. I knew this was his tefillin, exactly, you know? But it didn't even have his name on it, so I knew, that's it, it's going to be gone forever. So I took them, having in mind to give them back to him. Now, again, I wasn't in touch with him for over a year. He wasn't like a good friend or anything. I didn't even know where he was. But I took them home, and I put them in my closet at home. And honestly, I just totally forgot about them. Like, momish totally forgot about them. That year I forgot about. The next year, Shana Aleph in Minaret Yisrael, I'm in Keren B'Yavne, Shana Bet, I'm in Keren B'Yavne. And then the next year I was in YU, but it was one of the years, like, it's going to be this upcoming, no, not this year, like last year, this past year, where Elul was very, very early, right, and all the time were very early this year. So I decided I'm going to go learn in the mirror for Elul's man. I learned in the year in the mirror. I was officially in YU, but okay. So I missed the first few weeks of classes. I was signed up in YU, but I'll go to the mirror for El Zman and learn El Zman in the mirror. I was coming back and getting engaged a few weeks later, so I figured I needed one last Zman to fully be ingrained in Torah and in the mirror. It was incredible. It was an incredible Zman. Really, something very special. So much of who I am is because of that short Zman in the mirror. And one day, so I remember this, between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Seres Yimei Tshuva, I'm walking in the streets of Beis Yisrael, right near the mirror, a few blocks away from the mirror. And I see up the block this guy, and he looks so familiar. And I'm getting closer, and I said, "Mom, it's Easy. I haven't seen this guy in years. Easy, okay? Now, Easy, but like Easy, last time I saw him, you know, was a high school kid in 11th grade who didn't make it through MTA, so you can imagine what he looked like. Now, white shirt, dark pants, it sits us out, is walking holding his Gemara. Couldn't believe my eyes. So I give him a hug, and we talk for a few minutes. And he was learning in Tomo at the time, in Tarsimo, Yeshiva Tarsimosha. Mommy, she's been learning for a few years already. Incredible. It's incredible. Vinahapachu. Mamish vinahapachu. Mamish vinahapachu. It was so awesome. And right there talking to him, the Rabbanu Shalom reminded me about the tefillin, Baruch Hashem. And I say to him, I say, you know, I feel terrible that I haven't got these two until now. And I'm sure you have tefillin already by now. But, you know, to have a second pair, I feel horrible that I never figured out where you were. I'm eschatai and imaskar yom, but I have, you know, when you left MTA, you know, I'm sure you had a second pair at home or something. But Lamaisa, you left your tefillin in MTA. I found them, I had them at home. And I want to get them to you. I can't make this up. I'll never forget for the rest of my life. The expression, his eyes like widen as large as you've ever seen. And he looks at me and he says to me, he says, Aryeh, he says, I want you to know, obviously I've got a new tefillin. 2 weeks ago, I lost my tefillin. And for 2 weeks, I've been looking anywhere I could imagine over, where I could have brought them. And I mamish, I can't find them anywhere. Right now, when I bumped into him, he said he was on his way to the sofer to purchase new tefillin. Right now. He was on his way to purchase new tefillin. That was where he was walking, right there. And now he didn't have to go to buy the new tefillin and spend the chavis nesh $1,500 or whatever it would have been, $1,000 on tefillin. It was right again, it was between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I had people who knew coming for his sukkahs to Eretz Yisrael. And my father would give it to someone. And already in sukkahs, I was able to get him the tefillin from years ago. You can't make it up, the Ashgach of the Eivishter. It's incredible, Baruch Hashem. But what are we saying? Why am I sharing this story? When I was writing up this shir, just brought that story back to me. Somebody that in so many ways, if I started explaining it to you, was as far as possible on the exterior from the Eivishter and from living the proper life. And here he is, Mamish, shining from Torah. Mamish, shining from Torah. And he seemed so far and out. But altis yaish, when you're very low, it's just potentially to reach the highest of places. In every area in our life as well. And we have to believe that and we have to know that. I want to read you from the words of Likutei Maran, Rav Nachman of Breslov. It's in piece, it's in Tanina. Tanina is his second section of the Sefer. Piece Samach Ches. Rav Nachman writes such beautiful words. And here he writes, listen to these words. Should have photocopied it for the Chevra. Listen, I'll go through slowly. Al kein, therefore, afilu im ha'adam noyifel chas v'sholem. If a person falls, God forbid, l'makom shenoyifel, rachmanu l'tlan, to whatever place they've fallen, God forbid. V'ubesheifel ha'madreira ha'tachtonam mamish. And that individual's in the lowest and lowest of places. You can't imagine, we fall sometimes lowest, lowest of places. At least we feel that way about ourselves. Gam misham. Also from there. Yuchel ledabik et atzmo b'Hashem. A person's able to cling to Hashem. V'loshev elav yisbarach and return to Hashem. Ki malo cholor et kvodo. Because he fills up the entire world. He's everywhere. He's not just in shul. He's not just by the Kaisel Maravi. He's in your house, in your rooms, or whatever makom you're in that you've fallen. Kadosh Baruch Hu's there as well. And you're able to dabik atmo Hashem, to cling to Hashem. Kfar mi, the Baranum is that we already spoke about this. Shkshadam munach lamat lagamri. When a person is in that low place. V'roshu b'dyota tachtona. You're in the lowest level. Chas v'sholom. Rachok mi'od me'ashem is baruch. So far from God. Roilo lahachias atzmo bezeba atzmo. That itself can give you life. Hanukizeu ba'atmo huskarvas. That low place itself is the closeness. You have to imagine yourself, you're already close. Why? Me'achar shiroa shurachok. As long as you see you're far. Just knowing that. Just if you know you're far, that's the first step in being so close. Before you were so far, you didn't even know you were so far. Now you hit rock bottom, you realize you could only get back up. You realize, I'm so far, I have to reach up. That's when I'm really so close. That itself is closeness. That itself. And that feeling itself could give you life again. V'lashuv al Hashem, and return to Hashem. We are never too far. We are never too far. And we have to believe that, and we have to know that. Here we're in a month, we started out by saying, in the month of Adar Sheni, this month of tshuva, it's not the tshuva that we learned about El Rosh Hashanah Kippur, that's a little bit of a scary tshuva. A tshuva that I have to look at myself and be scared to do every prat, every detail, charata, regret, and vidui, confessions. It's a different type of tshuva. It's tshuva me'ahava. Tshuva me'simcha. Realizing I might feel low, but b'simcha, just get back up. Don't worry about the past. Havarayin. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about what was. Don't worry what I've done. Don't worry what I haven't done. Just start doing. Just start doing for Hashem and doing for ourselves. And we have the opportunity now. The Achrith is closest to Reishis. You know, there's a medrash, the name Achashverosh. We know anytime it says the word Melech in the Megillah, so everybody knows this from the time you're a very young child, you've learned that Melech is really also a remez, a hinting to Hashem, right? But that's when we're told that's when it's HaMelech by itself. Sometimes it says Melech, sometimes it says Melech Achashverosh. So we're told when Melech Achashverosh, that's Achashverosh. Melech could be Hashem. No. Melech Achashverosh is also Hashem. There's a medrash in Achashverosh, Zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'achris Vereishis Shalom. Achashverosh, Achris Vereishis Shalom. The end, Pashup Pshat means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we said before, is above time. The beginning and the end and the beginning is all Him. Which is the makeup of Achashverosh. Maybe it says as follows as well. He says, you want to be close to Hashem. You want to build a relationship with Hashem. Even when you fall Achris, even when you fall to the end, you're really very close to Reishis. Achris V'Reishis Shalom. It's all one. It's all one. We should never feel too far. We should never feel that we've fallen too far. We always have to believe in ourselves and believe in that relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's maybe why it is as well. The Gemara, the famous Gemara that we've started singing and will continue to sing, Mishenechnas Adam Arba Bezimcha. In the Gemara, it's juxtaposed very strangely. Kashem Shenechnas Av Mamatim Bezimcha. Kach Mishenechnas Adam Marba Bezimcha. Just like in Av, we diminish our Simcha. Because it's Tisha B'Av, Churban Beis HaMikdash, 9 days, right? So to another, we increase, enhance our Simcha. Is that really a good time to talk about that? Like, okay, Shkoyach, we have these 2 months, one where we increase, one where we decrease, but like, do we really need to juxtapose them? Do we really have to compare and contrast them? Like, why is that those in two completely separate Gemaras? Let's talk about it. When we want to be Mishenech Nizad and Marv B'Simcha, another place when we're talking about Avelus, Mishenech Nizad and Marv B'Simcha. Like, why? They have to Kashem just like as if they're interconnected. As if they're one and the same? Why is that? So maybe it's everything we're saying tonight. Even when you feel like you're of, even when you feel like you're so low and you're so far, you're so close to be marbin b'simcha. You're so close to increase the simcha. You're so close to get back to who we should be and who we can be. And we have to believe in that. And that's the greatest lesson of Purim. That's what Purim is all about. On the surface, what was Purim? Purim for our nation. Purim for our nation was a time of the lowest of lows. A time when we were being threatened, and the Chazal say it was already mamish sealed, that we would be annihilated, that we would be destroyed. But that lowest of places leads, not just, by the way, let's understand where it leads. It doesn't just lead to Geula, which itself is tremendous, redemption. It led to a Kabbalah HaTorah Me'ahava, which we never did before. The Gemara Shabbos Beches, we re-accepted the Torah with love, with affection. And eventually, what else did it lead to? Not immediately, but soon after, the building of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. Daryavish, right after the next king allowed us, and we rebuilt Beis HaMikdash. It led to that Geula as well. House, even from the lowest of places, because when we realized and we looked into ourselves, I'm so low. It's such opportunity to grow, an opportunity to work on ourselves. And we should never be out, and we should never have yish, and always be besimcha. And even when we feel so low, it's just time to grow and realize that. You know, we said before that there are 12 different ways to say Yudke Vavke, connected to 12 months of the year, and Adar is the last one, right? Which is then reconnecting to Nisan. We're going to go right into Nisan, which is the Yudke Vavke, Rachamim, right? We're so close to Rachamim. What about Adar Sheni? The 12 Sirufim, 12 ways to say Hashem's name, but Adar Sheni, we have 13 months. So the Sifrei Kabbalah bring down that when it comes to Adar Sheni, it's connected to all 12 of the Sirufim. Of the ways, Siruf is the way you could say Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hei Hei Vav Yud, right? Vav Yud, Hei Hei, whatever it might be. All 12 of them together is connected to Adar Sheni, which is the deepest of deep of Shem Havaya, of Rachamim, of mercy, which means that we understand the power of this month. The Bnei Yisrael brings down that every month has a mazel. A mazel, a constellation that rules over it, which is like keeping that month in a certain teva, a certain nature. Obviously, everything's from Hashem. He says, Adar Sheni, there's no mazel. It's lemalam in a mazel. It's above, it's supernatural. Things can happen and change that al pi derech ateva naturally wouldn't happen. The koach of this month. And the koach of this month to flip ourselves from the lowest to the highest of places, as we saw in the story of Purim. And each and every one of us needs to believe within ourselves that we always can do that. And we're never far, and we're never low, we're never, if we only are in order to grow. And we only are in order to get back up. And we only are to re-establish that kesher to whoever we need to re-establish it to, and especially with the Ribbono Shel'Olam, especially with the Eibishter. Because He's always there with open arms ready to take us back. He's always there. What do we see by the Churban Beis HaMikdash? By the Churban Beis HaMikdash, what was going on by the Kruvim? The Gemara tells us that the Kruvim, the angelic figures on top of the Aron, they represented our relationship with Hashem. And it was miraculous. When we were doing what was right, they were looking at each other lovingly, and we weren't, they turned their backs on each other. Mamash, these golden figures would move. Crazy stuff. What it is to be a Yid, because we believe in this stuff, because it's real, because we believe in a Rabbanu Shalom, so anything could happen, right? But you know what the Gemara tells us? The moment of Churban Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, you know what the Kruvim were doing? They were embracing. It makes no sense. It's against everything that the Kruvim are supposed to be doing. If obviously we deserve Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, it's because we were at the lowest of places. Now it's at that moment Hashem gives us a big hug and says, I'm here waiting to take you back. Yes, I have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash for what you've done. We have to have a punishment. You need a punishment to learn, to look at yourself and realize you're so low. But realize I love you. I love you. It's going to be the biggest embrace. You're going to come back. We're going to have a Binyan Beis Shlishi. We're going to get there. And it's going to be incredible. It's going to be unbelievable. And in our own personal level, whenever we personally have a level of galus, whatever that might be, we have to, each and every one of us needs to believe and know. There's always potential to grow. And that's when we'll feel the ultimate geula, the ultimate redemption. Those who daven Nesuch Svard, I know it's only a few of us, but maybe some of you have at some point in a shul where they daven Nesuch Svard on Shabbos. This is, you know, in Kedusha of Musaf on every Shabbos, we say the words, Hein Ga'alti Eschem Achris Kereshis. Hein Ga'alti Eschem. Hein Ga'alti Eschem, I'm going to bring Geula, there's going to be redemption. When Achris Kereshis, when the end is like the beginning. There are many ways to understand that, maybe in light of what we're saying tonight. You know when Geula will come, the ultimate Geula of Binyamin HaMikdash, but even before that, the Geula of every one of our lives, that each and every one of us should be Simcha always, each and every one of us should feel close to Hashem always. When Achris Kereshis, Hein Ga'alti Eschem Achris Kereshis, when even if we fall low and we're at the end, I realize I can get right back to the beginning. I have that chizik within myself, and I just go and do it. And we will do it. We'll have siyata shemaya. We'll feel that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's waiting just to re-embrace us. Even if there needs to be that fallout at times because we need to learn a lesson to grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with open arms, ready to take us back and ready to rebuild and ready to get back to the level that we should be. Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, each and every one of us should be zoicha. As we prepare for the Heilig Yontov of Purim, which teaches us this, to always feel that I'm so close to Hashem. To always feel, even if I'm low, it means, as Rav Nachman taught us, at that point, I'm so close to Hashem. And just work on ourselves to feel it on the exterior as well. And Mirz Hashem, that tzchus, hen ga'alti eschem rachas kreishis, will be zoiche to all our personal gulas that we need. and ultimate geula with Binyan Beis HaMikdash b'mehera b'yameinu. Beautiful week, everybody. Bezat Hashem.